Don't look back, the market is closed. Good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Kip Harrod here with the Daily Bureau Investing Podcast. Hope you had a good day today. If you're bull, you had a good day today. Folks, we've got a lot of good things happening in this market, continuing to broaden out. Here's some of the things we'll talk about today. NASDAQ, all-time high. Kind of snuck up on you, right? Did me. I was surprised to see it today. And internals, they were fantastic. We get, by the way, just a quick heads up. Tomorrow, I'm going to schedule to be on Fox Business with Charles Payne and Making Money in the 2 o'clock Eastern hour. Hope you can join us. Don't know exactly what time. Don't find that out till in the morning. Hopefully it'll be in the first. I like being on in the first half of the show. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out. But anyway, I hope you can join us. Again, great internals today. More indications today that we have rate cuts coming. Rates are going lower. We've been telling you this. And, you know, again, Tyler talks about this in his podcast. Yesterday he's talked about it probably more frequently than I do, about how wrong these economists have been. And how it's great to fade them. You want to make a lot of money, fade these guys. Because remember, at the beginning of the year, they were all, we have stayed true to what we predicted. Our forecast actually from the fourth quarter of last year was that we'd have 2 to 3 rate cuts this year. We haven't changed that at all. In the meantime, the economists have gone from beginning of the year saying 6 to 7 rate cuts. Remember, they're all worried that they didn't start soon enough. And again, 6-7 rate cuts. And now the economy is starting to get stronger. We had inflation a little stickier. What happened? Not only did they say, we're not going to have six to seven rate cuts. We're going to have no rate cuts. Matter of fact, we think we're going to have rate increases. Okay. And then today we get the PPI data. I'll walk you through that because it's very compelling. What the internals and what's happening inside of the inflationary data is being so poorly represented in the media. Surprise, surprise, right? Because they get stuck on a narrative, and that's their narrative. And all of a sudden, they like have a gotcha moment. Like, oh, okay, we're wrong. They just changed. They don't apologize. They don't say what they got wrong and why they're changing. It's just, oh, now we think this is going to happen because this event happened. No, that's not the way the markets work. The markets are like a big old super tanker. You know, they move slowly and you got to catch gradual changes. That's why the investing in the market is so powerful, because if you're a trend follower and if you have a system for trading, which of course we do here, but I'm sure many of you have your own, is things that work for you, right? Based on your, you know, risk reward parameters and your mental makeup on how you like to invest and trade. Everyone's got their own style, at least you should, because only you know what that style should be. But that's the great thing. If you've got a base case and you feel confident in your base case, knowing that the U.S. economy is a super tanker, it's the world's super tanker, and it moves slowly, but then you start to see changes in the trend, changes in the economic trend, changes in the expectation in consumer sentiment, right? And then you see changes in the individual sectors, individual stocks, and it's the overall health and breadth of the market, right? The internals of the market. All of this really adds up that if you pay close enough attention to the things that matter, you're going to be on the right side of the market, number one. You're going to catch the big moves. And that's really the key, I think, to making money in the markets. You got to be on the right side. You have to be on the right side of the market. And that's why you never want to be either a perma bear or a perma bull. Don't be perma anything. The market tells us every single day, every single week, every single month, what it wants to do. We simply have to pay attention to it. And when you have a good base case, and we're going to talk about that some today as well, then it helps you to stay on the right path. Okay. So yeah, again, great internals today. I'll walk through all this in a minute. More indication that we're going to have rate cuts. We are going to have rate cuts in the very near future, probably right after the June central bank meetings in Europe, namely the ECB and the Bank of England, are going to be cutting rates in June. Okay. That's next month, right? They're telegraphing it already. And so, this is the way this works. Central banks work in a coordinated fashion. We know this because that's exactly what they've done from the birth of quantitative easing in 2008. They move in tandem. Now, why would they do that? How about because they're rigging the whole thing? Folks, this is the whole basis of our book, The Big Bribe. The whole thing is rigged. But, you know, look, we can fight that dragon, right? We can tilt against that windmill, Or we can say, you know what? Our job is to control what we can control. Let's make money in the markets. Let's make as much as we can so that we have FU money. So if others try to take control of us, try to tell us what to do, right? We just basically give them the middle finger because we have taken care of our own portfolio and our retirement plan, and we're ignoring the perma bears and the perma bulls, right? And we're ignoring these idiots that just all they want to do is fear monger. And I have, as you know, if you know me at all, I have no patience whatsoever for these people that just like to yell fire in a crowded theater. But they do it for likes and tweets. They do it for followers. And frankly, it's I have no patience for it. So we like to report what we see happening, what's actually happening, not what the mainstream media is reporting, not what the financial mainstream media is reporting, but the actual facts, right? And that's what we try to get to here with you, certainly in the VRA portfolio, which I believe is why we've beaten the market 17 out of 20 years. And it's, we're having another good year this year. And again, our job is to stay focused on what matters most and to ignore the noise, block out the noise, and just keep our blinders on and stay locked into this generational bull market, because that's what we have our hands on here. We have a generational bull market that has the potential to be the most powerful melt-up market that we've had since the 1995 to 2000 dot-com mania. The difference being, this one's going to go longer. Folks, this is going to be this. If you're on the right side of this market and you're in the right sectors and the right stocks, and you have just a basic understanding of some market timing, you know, selling things at extreme overbought on steroids, that's what we're doing here, and then looking to reposition when the markets have a shakeout, because they always do. Trees don't grow to the sky overnight. You're going to get your big moves higher, then you get your shakeouts, right? So if you can do that enough times, you do that maybe two or three times a year. We're not talking about day trading or even really active trading, frankly. But you can do that two or three times a year. Then you really start getting way ahead of the game. We'll talk about that. I guess I already did. Don't fight the tape. Don't fight the Fed. What do you think's happening here? NASDAQ again, all-time highs again today. Don't fight the tape. Don't fight the Fed. Don't fight global central banks, because they're about to start cutting. And so this is a powerful combination. The saying goes back to the – I just wrote this up this week. I think it's the early 1970 when Don't Fight the Tape, Don't Fight the Fed was first written about and Winning on Wall Street, just a classic book. And again, I don't think there's an old market adage that's more true than Don't Fight the Tape, Don't Fight the Fed. And that's what's directly ahead. That's what the markets are discounting. That's why we continue to plow ahead. Also today, great action, wrote this up this morning. Great action today, again, in gold, silver, and the miners led, the semis led today. Again, let's get right to it. Check with the markets first. Markets finishing essentially at the highest of the day. Dow Jones up 126, that's 0.3%. S&P 500 up 0.5%. Russell 2000 up 1.1%. NASDAQ up 0.7%. And again, our leader on the day, what you want to see, semiconductors up 1.7%. The semis lead in both directions. We shared this chart with our subscribers here at the VRA. I don't know. I've given up counting. It must be thousands of times that we've talked about this from the birth of quantitative easing. If you get the direction of the semiconductors right, that means you have the direction of tech right. If you have the direction of tech right, you got the direction of the market right. It is no more complicated than that. The semiconductors are the tell. They've been the tell for 15 years, and they remain the tell. And they've been, if you like relative street charts like we do, then you know what I'm talking about. The semiconductors have been leading the S&P 500 of higher from the birth of this into the bear market, birth of this bull market in fourth quarter of 2022. And again, that's a simple kind of a code, investing code to live by that just won't steer you wrong. At least it hasn't so far. Knock on wood, all good things do come to an end. But so far, this has held up extraordinarily well. This morning, if you're watching the news, I don't fault you if you don't want to. It's horrible. But we did find out this morning that the PPI, Producer Price Index, came in. Initially, it looked to be hot. Looked to be hot as there was a miss, ex-food and energy, right? As there was a miss there that made it look hot. And then people started digging into the numbers. Wait a minute. So year over year, we're at 2.2% inflation. That's in the PPI. We'll learn the consumer price index tomorrow. That's the more important one. But this gives a pretty good snapshot of what we expect tomorrow because disinflation is continuing. How do we know that? Buried in this report was the fact that the producer price index was actually revised lower last month to a negative 0.1%. This is the disinflation, possibly deflation, that we've been talking about with you here. It's being exported from China. It's now coming from Europe as well. And again, now those central banks are ready to start cutting. Their mission is accomplished as it applies to inflation. So ignore the perma bears. Ignore the people that are. There are still actually some fairly bright people. I happen to know them. They think that the Fed's going to hike rates, and they are just could not be more off base. They could not be more wrong. That's what the markets are telling us here. Sure. Again, tomorrow the CPI we're looking at the estimate is for inflation year over year to have risen 3.6%. If that comes in there, I think we may get a beat. But if it comes in at 3.6%, that'll be the smallest increase in over 3 years. Again, that is disinflation. Is it higher than we want? Sure. Can we even trust the numbers? No, probably not. But are they moving in the right direction? Yes. And the biggie, remember, wages are growing at a rate faster than inflation. And I think so much of what's being reported is inaccurate anyway, frankly. I don't trust the GDP data. I think this economy is much stronger than the data is picking up. We see it everywhere else. We're seeing it in our sectors. We see it in the market internally. Again, these are discounting mechanisms telling us that good news is coming. That's what's happening here. You get all-time highs in NASDAQ. Again, we've just had all-time highs in everything except the small caps. Now we're getting a repeating cycle of that. Global markets trading at all-time highs. You do not get markets hitting all-time highs. And then again, it's the super tanker. We don't just reverse and crash. That's not the way the markets. I'm not going to win again because anything could happen. But the markets don't work like that, right? We must buy dips. Buying the dips has been the smart money strategies from the birth of this market. It's what we've been doing consistently here. And again, we highly recommend that the hardest thing to do is to buy on a pullback. Because it's hard, right? It's hard buying when stocks are going down. But again, if you got good positions, you're adding to those positions or putting new ones on as they come to the surface, right? But anyway, I got to tell you, the story is not just that the Bank of England is going to be cutting likely next month, not just that the ECB is likely to be cutting next month. But again, we've talked about this a little bit with you. Have you been following the utility stocks? Utility stocks have gone parabolic. Okay. Now, I know the electrification of the country is a big thing. A lot of money is going to be plowed into utility stocks. I get that. But remember, folks, this is one of the most heavily regulated industries in the United States, public utilities. Forgive me for not wanting to invest in this group. It's almost like for me buying bank stocks. Not that you can't make money in them, because certainly you can. But I choose to be where the action is. And it's not in utility stocks and it's not in bank stocks. Although utility stocks have been red hot, right? They have gone parabolic. Why would that be? Again, repeat it for our newer folks. Utility companies are the largest borrowers of money in the country. There is no group that is more interest rate sensitive than utility stocks. Utility stocks are telling us they're discounting, rates are going lower. Look at what's happening with tech. Again, NASDAQ, all-time high today. Another interest rate sensitive group, tech and semis, marching higher, telling us again, good news is coming. Again, you got the friendly PPI data tomorrow. I expect we're going to get a good read tomorrow on CPI, but frankly, it's not going to matter. The die is cast. The Fed is going to start cutting rates pretty soon. Again, sometime this summer. And let's just hope they haven't waited too long. I don't believe they have. Because again, we got a structural bull market and a structurally strong U.S. economy that is now running into something called we call the innovation revolution, which is going to power this market higher for a very long time to come. Again, folks, I hate to be so repetitive, but this is a market to stay locked in. 95 to 2000 was a fun bull market for me, but we had no clue what was happening. We just knew that these companies called dot-com stocks were going crazy, right? It's almost like these meme stocks of today. We're getting a snapshot of what's to come with these fully crappy companies called AMC and GameStop. Look, are they, can you make money in them? Sure. We have, you know, we've made over 300%, in the last, since the birth of this, meme madness, if you will, we've made over 300% profits in this group without taking a loss. So yeah, you can make money in this, but you got to know what you're doing and you got to hit it and quit it. These are not long-term holds. Please know that. You know, today, for example, AMC, right, one of the meme stocks that exploded higher, has exploded higher. What is it up? These are not closing numbers. I calculated these before the open this morning. AMC Theaters has already jumped 300%. GameStop has jumped 370%. But do you notice what AMC announced at the, just before the open? They announced they're doing a $250 million equity offering, okay? Now, we went and saw a movie this weekend. We don't go to many movies anymore. And the theater was fairly empty for a Saturday night. Kind of surprising, really. Or is it not? Because the theaters have remained mostly empty. These companies have very little upside potential from an earnings point of view or a pricing power point of view. There is no long-term upside story at AMC unless there's some kind of new technology coming out that's going to mean you got to be at theaters because it's a must-see experience. I don't know. Maybe something like that's coming. Again, innovation revolution. This is the most explosive bull market since .com. But this time it's real, right? We don't have to worry about making our money in AMC and GameStop. They're going up because of short squeezes, right? And people that are anonymous that tweet out bizarre esoteric things on Twitter and social media and they make it seem so compelling. These are short squeezes. These are coordinated short squeezes, and they are not to be messed with, right? People that put big money in these are asking for a world to hurt. That's just the way I see it, and we've been very consistent on that. But again, the difference here is, this bull market, this innovation revolution is completely different than 95 to 2000 because these companies are real. These companies aren't startups, right, that are going public without revenue and then seeing their stock jump 100, 200, 300% the first day of trading and everyone going, oh, this must be a great company. Look how far the stock price has gone up. And then you find out just a few years later, 9 out of 10 of those companies went out of business. That's what happened in 95 to 2000. However, this is different. Now we have companies trade valued at $1 to $2 trillion that are making serious money. And now they've got new technology coming out. We've talked about this often. It's in the book, The Big Bride, that Todd and I wrote. So again, this has been our base case for some time. And instead of playing short squeezes, look, if you want to mess around, it's your money, do what you want to with it. I'm just saying, I prefer to make my money in a way that I can calculate in a much more probability-based fashion, if you know what I mean. Based on what we know works, based on what I know works over doing this 38 years. And look, have fun with the meme stocks. I wish them great success because they have been, in many cases, illegally shorted. These short squeezes could get interesting. Again, it's happened before, but that's just we're probably going to avoid it this time. If we get a great opportunity, then maybe we'll take a look at it. The short squeeze thing is a different story. For example, one of our VRA 10 baggers is a little company named Tesla. Well, guess what's interesting about Tesla? Tesla is the most heavily shorted stock on the planet. There is no stock more heavily shorted via dollar amount than Tesla. Tesla just happened to be up today almost 4%. So is there a squeeze happening there? I doubt it. Because the cover ratio is only like, I think, a day or two. So it's not like these other stocks where, you know, you're looking at 20, 30, 40 days on average volume, to cover their shorts, right? But still, companies like Tesla and others that are heavily shorted, by these bears that just simply won't give up. Boy, that's crazy. I don't know how you get out of bed. If you're on the right side of the wrong side of the market and you've been on the wrong side of the market for an extended period, the way I built me, if I'm on the wrong side of the market for more than a few days, I start doing my homework again. I start digging in. What have I missed? What am I missing? Has something changed, right? Because who wants to be on the wrong side of the market for more than a week or two, right? I mean, that happens in pauses and pullbacks. I understand that. But can you imagine being on the wrong side of the market for a year or two, or in some cases, these people hadn't been on the right side of the market in probably their whole career, these perma bears that are really just in it for the clickbait. They're list builders. They want you to sign up at their site. They want to use fear mongering to scare you, to get you to sign up at their site for their free information. And then they sell your list 1,000 times. That is their business model. I think, frankly, I think it's criminal. But again, we have free speech in this country. And I mean, I think it's just, it behooves us as intelligent investors to learn the truth about the way these fools and these scam artists profit off of the good people. You know, that's what bothers me, I think, more than anything, is that good people get suckered in and get convinced into these bearish stories. Or the flip side, to bullish stories. Again, never want to be a perma anything. But certainly in a bull market like this, right? This is a textbook early bull market action. You just want to be on the right side and have exposure to the most explosive sectors, and quality stocks that are going to do well. So again, we talked a little bit about the PPI, and I want to talk now and talk about rates and some of the other qualifiers that tell us, you know, again, it's not just the rate cuts are coming from the Fed and from these European central banks. It's not just utility stocks are going parabolic. It's not just that the 10-year yield in just what, 3 weeks has fallen from 4.71% to today, 4.44%. So the 10-year is going in the right direction. But we're also getting verification in what's happening in precious metals and miners. Okay. Gold, for example, over the last, this is from the beginning of March, okay? The beginning of March, gold, excuse me, gold has moved up from just over $2,000 an ounce to $2,355. Pretty good move, right? But silver has jumped from 22 to 29 over the same time frame. That's up 31%, okay? Again, this is a very interest rate sensitive group. So again, I think our belief is they're discounting what's, they're front running. They're front running the Fed. They're front running the direction of interest rates, okay? This is what's happening. And we're really seeing it in the miners. And this is where it becomes textbook. GDX is up 36%, the gold miner ETF, up 36% from the beginning of March. Our buy recommendation, the two-time leveraged gold miner ETF, NUGT, is now up over 80%. From the beginning of March. They are telling us, they are discounting what's about to happen. Look, there'll come a point when we're going to go, you know what? These groups have gone too far too fast. It's time to take some profits. I just think that's going to be a ways from now. Again, we're on record as saying this is the bull market of bull markets and precious metals and miners. I think this goes on for a very long time, okay? But I'm looking, for example, right now at GDX. Just tell you what it did today. Again, today, GDX was up 1.2%, but the volume for GDX was only 14 million shares. I cannot put into words how tiny that is. When this bull market really gets going in precious metals and miners, specifically now talking about the miners, when this bull market really gets going, put this in ink, right? Put my name by it. If I'm wrong, I will buy you dinner anywhere you want to eat. When this group gets going, GDX will start trading 50, 60, 70 million shares a day. Right now, it's averaging 24 million shares a day. Chump change. This group is hated, even though, again, it's up 37%. And what is that? March, April, 2.5 months, 37%. I mean, that is on fire, right? Yet no one's talking about it. The stealth bull market is underway. And again, it's a perfect setup if you're a contrarian, and it's also a perfect setup if you can read the tea leaves. The tea leaves are rates are going lower. Fed's about to start cutting. And this is going to be, again, I think they're telegraphing it right now, are they not? All these various sectors we just covered are telegraphing what's going to happen here. We're going to make a fortune, folks, in precious metals and miners. Really, we kind of already are. This group has been on fire. And again, gold price just hit all-time high. Again, silver back to 29. Got a ways to go to get all-time high, but it's going the right direction, and it's been doing so on a very rapid clip. So that's everything we want to see. And again, I believe it's telegraphing what's been most of, I'm spending time on this because this is the one thing the markets have been most focused on, is it not? Inflation and the direction of rates. Let me ask you a question. Once we get clarity on this, and once we have rate cuts, And once we have the 10-year back below 4%, this is all good. This is all happening. Once this happens, what are the bears going to be obsessed with then? My guess is they'll flip and they'll go, oh, the economy is slowing. Oh, we're going into recession. That's almost certainly what they're going to do. Just know that that's going to be their playbook and just know why they're doing it, right? But again, if that happens and we see the economy really starting to slow, we'll tell you. But again, the innovation revolution, GDP growth is about to jump significantly, folks. We're going to see GDP growth. If Cathie Wood's team is right, 6 to 8% over a 15 to 20-year period, maybe longer, every year. Imagine that. Imagine what the stock market is going to do if that's right. Imagine the wealth creation is going to take place in this country if that's right. Right? I don't know if it's going to be that high, right? Because I think these things happen and stay. Again, we're a super tanker. These things, and they don't happen in a vacuum. We've got a global economy. But again, the global economy is clearly recovering. Inflation's in the right direction, disinflation, deflation coming out of China and now Europe. So all the planets and stars are really starting to line up here. And this has been our base case for some time. Why would we change it now? Of course we would, and we're sticking with it. Let's talk a look at the internals here. Again, all-time highs in NASDAQ. We've had a phenomenal run. What is this now? Dow Jones up 9 out of 10 days. You know, the markets are clearly telling us that they know more than the rest of us do. They always do. But the internals were good today as well. 2 to 1 advanced decline, both for NASDAQ and for NYSE. Just check this out, up volume. NYSE up volume 79%, close to 80%. 83% up volume for NASDAQ. Okay? This is garlic. This is garlic strong. And it's again, it's exactly what you'd expect. Ryan Dietrich put out some good data. We shared with our folks yesterday, I think it was. I'm gonna probably get this a little wrong, but the direction will be right. We've had back-to-back-to-back days with NYSE up, advanced decline, 3 to 1 positive. I think that's what it was. Anyway, bottom line is every time this has happened, going back to 2000, the market's been up the next year 100% of the time with an average gain of something like 23%. So again, we've got a lot of analytics. You know, Rich Ross today, Rich Ross is a quant. He's the chief market technician at Evercore, and his work is just fantastic. We share with our folks at least once a week here. And he's been right as rain in the market. He's uber bullish as he has been. And he reminded us that, you know, in a presidential election year, the lows in the markets take place in May. Well, we're there. And that's it. And then you rally through August. So we'll see how that holds up. But that means it's not going to be sell in May and go away. It's going to be buy in May and stay, right? I'm going to write that down. It's not bad, right? Buy in May and stay. I'll use that I'm going to use that on Charles Payne show tomorrow. Better write it down before I forget it. Buy in May and stay. Never heard it before. That's sticky, right? So again, the analytics are good. The internals clearly are good. The fundamentals are good. It's been a great earnings season. And we're starting to get really some more clarity on what this means for these chip companies, semiconductors, and what the innovation revolution, the fourth industrial revolution. We're starting to get a real good sense of what this looks like. And by the way, guess who reports earnings next week? Guess who reports earnings on, is it Monday? It is Monday. NVIDIA reports earnings on Monday. You think the semiconductors might be rallying in advance of that? Because I do. You think the market's going to rally? I do. Now, will there be a buy the rumor, sell the news event? I don't know. But I know this much. Today's Tuesday. I got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for this market to rally. And folks, I think that's exactly the shorts are on the wrong side, right? This meme stock craze we're seeing is a signifier. It is important because we were in the roaring 2020s. We first started saying this, people literally laughed at us, right? Do you not know who's president, Kip? What are you talking about? Do you not know we're going into a Great Depression? I mean, my God, it's just, you know, the media has been so overwhelmed, as we've called it, as a psyop of negativity in place that people have bought into this garbage. It just ain't true. And so, again, that's really helping to propel this market higher. As contrarians, you want everybody as bearish as possible. Thank God that's what we've had. I hope they stay bearish. We all want people, these bears, we want them to stay as bearish as they've been. Please stay bearish. That'll help the rest of us make money being on the right side of the market. Also, the eternals today, 317 stocks hitting 50-week high, just 91 hitting 50-week low. A trifecta in the eternals. Really, really good readings across the board today. Again, it continues a pattern that's now a repeating pattern, has been actually for some time. In our, there's one more thing I wanted to cover here. You know, our base case, I'm just going to say a few things here. If you've been with us for a while, you know, our big, broad mega trends, we get five of them. They're clicking. They're happening. Again, this bull market's going to rival that at 95 to 2000. I think this will be finally be known as the most electric bull market in U.S. history. And it's now underway. We're looking at first, second inning, folks. The largest tech companies are reinvesting $100 billion back in their own businesses. It's never happened before. It's a record times five. Never bet against a bull market when there's a major upgrade cycle in tech. That's just kind of a common sense old adage, investing adage that has really held up. And boy, do we have that now. The wild card, right? Again, we started saying this. I'm going to have to say it on Charles Payne's show again tomorrow too. We started saying this a while back that, you know, okay, so if you think that they'll rig the elections, and of course they did, so we know they're probably going to try to do it again. Let's hope they don't succeed. But they've done it before. So if we think that the state, the uniparty, whatever you want to call it, the planners, if we think that they're not below, right, they're not above rigging elections, why would we think they're above goosing the markets and the economy into November to help their team win? Because they're not. So that's the other wild card that we think is going to, again, we have a lot of things pointing to a market that's going to go a whole lot higher, folks. So let's stay locked in. All right. Now, sector watch today. Also, excellent news here. We had, apologies, where is my sector screen? All right. There it is. Good day here today as well. We had, 9 of 11 sectors finished higher, led to the upside by technology, of course, up almost 1%, real estate up 0.7%, really nothing to the downside at all, so let's just leave it alone. Very quiet there. Great day here all the way around. And a commodity watch, and again, we talked about this earlier, this is what the markets are doing. Our leading sectors that do this are discounting what's about to happen, meaning, again, lower rates. Gold today up $20 an ounce at $23.63. I believe that continues. I think we get friendly CPI data tomorrow. I hate even saying that about one report. But if they're going to goose the market and the economy, we got the good PPI today. The markets are discounting all this. Utility stocks going parabolic. Yeah, we're going to get good CPI data tomorrow, aren't we? Of course we are. So again, gold up today, 0.9%. Silver up a big 1.5%, just under $29 an ounce. Copper continues its roar ahead. Dr. Copper up another 3% today, $4.90 a pound, just on fire. What is that telling us about the global economy? I think we all know what it's telling us. Crude oil. Today down 70 cents a barrel at 78.43. Love this group, especially energy stocks. We have some time. It's starting to pay us some good dividends here. And finally of the day, Bitcoin. This has been the disappointing thing for me. But again, if you followed Bitcoin at all, you know how it trades. It seems to do exactly the opposite of what you think it would do. And then people start to give up, and then boom, it's a house on fire, and it goes parabolic. That's going to happen here as well. Right now, 61,558 on the day. All right, folks, hey, always appreciate you listening. Hope you had a great day and even better night. We'll see you back here again tomorrow after the close.